couple of things before we get into the message. One is, this is week three of Growth Track, which is about making a difference with your life and finding that spot, that place that God has for you to make a difference in this world. And so if you have not been to Growth Track as of yet, it happens during second service each Sunday. And so today you could go because you're first service achievers, right? Overachievers. Come on now. You're overachievers, right? You're here for the first service. And so you can stay for the second service and go to Growth Track and love for you to make a difference with your life in the world. And then also, let me just mention again, the Life Group Fair that's coming up. If you're not connected into a life group, you're making it very difficult for me to care for you. Seriously, because that's how we're able to care for hundreds of people here at Crossroads Church. And so by you being in a group, it lets you be known and for you to know others and for you to grow together in God. And then when something happens in your life, you have some people who are real close to you who can minister to you. And so I want that for you as your pastor. I want you to experience life to the full. And so for you to do that, I need you to get connected. And so next week will be an awesome opportunity for you to be able to do that. So just go ahead and plan ahead to join into a group. How many have enjoyed the book of James so far? Huh? I love this book. I love it for many reasons. One is it's just so practical. And another reason, in this day and age, I believe it's the answer to our culture. If we could just have more Christians who do what James tells us to do, I believe we would change the world. I believe our culture would be different. And so today, let me tell you what our title is. It's Watch Your Mouth. Aren't you glad you came to church today? All right. James chapter 1. We're going to go back to the first chapter because James does this just a couple or three times where he'll kind of tease out something in an earlier verse of his writing, but then he'll come back to it and elaborate on that later. And so this is a topic that he does that. And in James chapter 1, verse 26, it says, if you claim to be religious, but don't control your tongue, you are only fooling yourself and your religion is worthless. Now, we live in a vicious culture, a cancel culture. We live in one where, especially in the world of social media, where people can kind of tell you what they think of you and not have to face you. Come on, somebody, right? In that culture, it can be very vicious and very dishonoring. And it's interesting because our staff is going through a book right now that's about honor and how that we should honor each other. And what we're discovering and discussing as a staff as we go through this book is just how dishonoring our culture is and how we've got to be careful because the culture cooties can get on us, right? What the culture feels and thinks and their attitude and things like that. And we should not be that way. We should not lower ourselves to the culture. We should seek to bring the culture up. I may believe that's some good preaching already, right? We just bring the culture up. So God takes this topic of the tongue very seriously. As a matter of fact, God talks about the power of the tongue, and we'll see this in a moment because we're going to look at a few scriptures. But he takes it very seriously, and he puts it throughout the Bible and alludes to how it's a real indicator of your spiritual health and your spiritual maturity. In other words, it's easy to fake spiritual maturity at church. Okay? So, in other words, you come and you can carry a Bible. Everybody remember the Bible? An actual Bible. And you can carry that with you. And you can say, oh, Lord, bless you, brother. You can even call each other brother and sister. Anybody remember that, too? And you can do a lot of spiritual things. But how we know if you're mature is we follow you through the week. And see, how do you talk about other people? How do you speak about them? What are things you say about other people maybe at church when you're not at church? What you say about others that are friends in your life? How you honor others? And so today we're gonna look at this heavy topic. It's pretty heavy. And so to start out with, I want to look at what James says about the weight of your words. And so we're gonna look at chapter 3 of James. And James kind of starts out, and I'm not gonna spend much time, I'm not even gonna pull these verses up, but he talks about, hey, if you're a teacher, you better really watch yourself, because there's heavier judgment on those that teach. And so for me, that really speaks to me that, you know, I've got to really watch and be careful of my life, of everything about my life, because I'm teaching others. I'm speaking over others. And he talks about that. But then he talks about the weight of each of our words. That the words, first of all, the weight of them, words determine direction. Maybe you need to write that down. Words determine direction. My words determine the direction of my life. And sometimes these are words that are spoken over me, that are spoken over you. Look at this in verse 3 of chapter 3 of James. We can control very large horses, think about that, by putting a small bit in their mouths. By controlling their mouth, we can turn the whole animal whatever direction we want it to go. Or take ships as an example. A tiny rudder makes a huge ship turn wherever the pilot wants it to go, even though the winds are strong. James says that it's amazing, just this little part of your body, how it can impact the direction of your life. That by people speaking over you, the impact of that. Maybe you can think about people who have spoken things over you. Maybe it's your first grade teacher. Maybe it was a parent. Maybe it was a pastor. Maybe it's a friend. Maybe it's somebody else. I know in my life, there were several people that have impact on my life, but today, I just want to highlight a couple that were in my life, older, the same age as my parents, basically. And it was Keith and Beth Middaugh, and few of you would know who they were. But they were strategic in my life. And the reason was the words that they would speak over me. Because they would say, you're going to do great in the ministry. And I was this shy kid going to Bible college, and but they would speak something as though it were real, as though it were the real thing. And then when they start hearing me speak, they would just say, oh, that was a great message. Now, I don't know if it was or not, but they said it was. And they would speak those words of life over me. And it impacted my life. There's a reason why I'm talking about it here today. And today I'm thinking about who is that maybe in your life? Or who is it in the life of your children? Did you know that while you're here in this room as parents, there are people on our dream team that are speaking words of life over your kids? They're saying, hey, you're going to do great. You're going to be awesome. God's got a plan for your life. Yeah, while you're trying to climb up on the wall there, right? While you're trying to do all these crazy things, well, I can't get you in the circle like all the other kids are doing or whatever. God's going to use that energy. God's going to use that for his glory. And I just want to say, if you're not on the dream team, and maybe it appeals to you to think, could I have that kind of impact on a child? You should enlist in the dream team. And how do you do that? You go to Growth Track and you find out what you're gifted for, and maybe you are gifted to be able to speak life into kids week after week. The words we speak, the words we receive are powerful. Proverbs 20:20 says this, if someone curses their father or mother, their lamp will be snuffed out in pitch darkness. Now, here's what he's saying. He's saying you won't be able to get guidance and direction. Now, again, in this honor book that we're reading, one whole chapter, one whole section is about honoring your parents and how powerful that is. Because did you know that God put it in the Ten Commandments? That's how strongly he feels about it. And so when you honor others, when you speak good things over them, and it's not about what they're speaking, we're talking about you right now. See, we're not talking about what they said about you. We're talking about what you say over them. And when you choose, all the more, if it's not coming this direction, to go ahead and speak words of life, here's what God says, favor will come on your life. Favor, blessing. Blessings of God will come upon you. And direction. See, maybe the reason why you're floundering and not finding direction for your life is you haven't honored your parents. Because God says, I'll snuff out the lamp. You won't be able to see where you're going. You won't be able to figure out a lot of things because I want you to fix this first. And so it's so important. It's so huge. As a matter of fact, when the Israelites were trying to come out of imprisonment in Egypt, basically, as slaves, and go into the promised land. We've talked about this before. They had 12 spies that went over and spied out the land. And we find out that 10 came back, and they said, we can't do it. But 2 came back and said, we can do it. Matter of fact, let me go ahead and read it real quick. Caleb, in Numbers 13, he silenced the people before Moses. Here's what he said. We should go up and take possession of the land, for we can certainly do it. But the men who had gone up with him said, we can't attack those people. They are stronger than we are. How many know that there are we can people and there are we can't people? And so the question is, who are you? And who do you surround yourself with? I believe we've got to watch ourselves so we guard our tongue. You know, Rochelle's family, a lot of times they would talk about negative Nelly. I don't know who she was. I think she was just a made-up character. But being a negative Nelly, you know, just a we can't person. We can't do that. You can't do that. You're not going to be able to do that. Today, I want to challenge you to be a we can person, or to be a you can person, and to seek out those in our life too who will speak those words over us as well. But you can't control that as much as you can control what you speak out. Someone said, we shape our words and then our words shape us. Here's the second thing that James talks about. He says words can destroy. They can destroy. They can destroy what we have. Did you know that your tongue, I just did a wedding yesterday for a family member. Your words, your tongue can burn down your marriage. Just burn it down. Words that you can't take back. Oh, you can say, oh, I'm sorry. But hey, they'll remember it, right? You can forgive, but you can't erase what was spoken. And so it's so important to us to realize the weight of our words. Here's what James goes on to say in verse 5. He says, likewise, the tongue is a small part of the body, but it makes great boasts. It's powerful. Consider what a great forest is set on fire by a small spark. The tongue also is a fire, a world of evil among the parts of the body. It corrupts the whole body, sets the whole course of one's life on fire, and itself is set on fire by hell. Okay, James. Calm down, buddy. No, this is huge. This is important. We've just seen this in the natural. You've seen these California wildfires. One of them I saw that I think it burnt down like 500 million acres or something like that. A spark caused it, they discovered. Just a spark. And then it burnt down all these acres. We live in a culture of comments where, oh, who commented on my post? And in that, there can be toxicity. There can be, well, that wasn't all that great. Or I wish I could go on vacation like you. Or I wish I was like that. Or that wasn't a big deal. Look at what I did. And here's what James had told us already. He said, hey, be slow to speak, but be quick to listen, right? In Proverbs chapter 10 and verse 19, it says it like this. Too much talk leads to sin. Be sensible, and here's our subject today. Keep your mouth shut. Keep your mouth shut. We need to keep our mouths shut. And I don't know about you, but there's things that I can get fired up about. Are you that way? One of those things, honestly, is politics. I can get fired up about politics. So I have to watch it. Matter of fact, since I've been studying for this message, I have gotten on social media less. Because that's what fires me up. I get on there and I say, that ain't right. What could I say? I'm going to retweet that. Oh, I'm going to add a comment to that one. Oh, I'm going to forward that with a new headline. And I don't know, I don't take my blood pressure when that's going on, but it probably isn't good, all right? And here's just a simple thing that I think would help us all. Less is more. Less is more. Did you know that when quiet people speak, you listen? Because they don't normally talk. But people who are talking all the time, You just kind of tune them out. But when somebody who's wise, who just sits there and contemplates and thinks about things, and then they speak, you want to hear what they have to say. Here's the next thing that James talks about, is words reveal my heart. The words that I speak always reveal my heart. Somebody said it like this, what's coming up in the bucket is what was down in the well. And so what we've got to do is be careful of what's in our hearts. And that's what James is going to talk about next. Is there something on the inside that needs to get addressed? Look at this in verse 9. He says, with the tongue we praise our Lord and Father, and with it, same tongue, we curse human beings who have been made in God's likeness. Out of the same mouth come praise and cursing. My brothers and sisters, this should not be. How can you do that? He's saying. How can you come into a worship service and sing about, like we did a while ago, blessing God? Oh, I bless you, God. And then go out of here and curse somebody else. How can you do that? James says, think about it. Think about it today. Just how does that happen? And he's going to help us to know how it happens. Look at verse 11, the next verse. He says, can both fresh water, because he's not done talking about this, and salt water flow from the same spring? And spring in the Bible is used for our heart. Out of the spring of our innermost being. So he's talking about the heart still. My brothers and sisters, can a fig tree bear olives or a grapevine bear figs? Neither can a salt spring produce fresh water. He says there's something here that the real problem, he says, is not your tongue, it's your heart. It's a heart condition. That really what's going on, if you want to stop your mouth, like you say, oh, sometimes I just wish I could just get that back. Just rewind it and get it back. And James says, well, it should have never gotten here first. This is where you've got to stop it. There's something inside. You don't just try to stop your mouth. You need to cleanse your heart. And God can help us do it. You need to cleanse your heart. So how do we do this? How do we do this? Back up to verse 7. James says all kinds of animals, birds, reptiles, and sea creatures are being tamed and have been tamed by mankind. But no human being can tame the tongue. It is a restless evil full of deadly poison. He says, good luck with that. Trying to stop it. Trying to get a handle on it. He says, so many people have tried that. He says, yeah, you can train your dog. You can train a horse, you can train other things, but you can't train your tongue. It's too much for you. You can't do it on your own. Oh, but that's why I'm glad you're in church today, because God can help you tame your tongue, all right? What's humanly impossible is divinely possible with God. And when you speak life, you know it, people are drawn to you. You want better friendships? Be a person who speaks life. People will say, let's go to lunch. If you're a negative person, negative Nelly, people are busy for lunch. They can't ever. No, that date won't work either. There's just never. I just can't figure out a time that we're going to be able to get together. Right? Hello. And so, if you want more friendships in your life, be this kind of person. So, that's the weight of our words. Now, I want to teach you how to lose the weight. All right? Let's look at how to lose the weight. To lose the weight, James says you need to seek a transformed heart. And that's the reason why we do 21 days of prayer. Okay? Because one day of prayer is not really enough to change everything. And we do 21 days of prayer twice a year because the hope is that you won't lose it in between. It's kind of like the balanced calendar idea of school, okay? And the idea is you get 21 days in of seeking God and pouring out your heart to him and getting on your face like many of us do here in this church sanctuary each day. And you get before him and you say, oh, Lord, cleanse my heart. Purify my mind. Help me, Lord. I need you. And you do that for 21 days. I believe in 21 days there can be a change. Just like I'm telling you that I've unplugged off a lot of that social media stuff because I just got convicted. Because I knew that's upsetting me. I'm getting all wound up. And I'm liable to say something I shouldn't say. I shouldn't do that. And so I'm working on myself. I'm just telling you. And you need to work on you. And how we do that is we get before the Lord and really experience him. Hebrews chapter 8, verse 10 says, this is the covenant I will establish with the people of Israel after that time, declares the Lord. I will put my laws in their minds, and notice this, and write them. This is what God's going to do. He's not going to write it on stone. He's going to write it on their hearts. And I will be their God, and they will be my people. No longer will they teach their neighbor or say to one another, know the Lord, because they will all know me. This is God's will for everybody here, to know the Lord. To not say, Pastor Craig, can you know the Lord for me? That's what the Israelites did. They said to Moses, you go up on the mountain, you talk to him, and then you come down, tell us what he said. And God says, that's not what I want. I want to talk to all my kids. No longer will they teach their neighbors, say to them, know the Lord. They all know me from the least of them to the greatest. For I will forgive their wickedness and remember their sins no more. See, these are people that are getting it in their hearts. In other words, you don't just come to church, you take notes. You don't just sit there and go through the motions and say, well, I checked that box for the week. Hopefully now my business will have a good week. Hopefully now I'll get along better with somebody else and things will go in my favor this week. No, instead you're saying, Lord, what do you want to speak to me today? How do you want to change my life? What do you need to do in me so that I walk out of here not just informed, but transformed by the power of the living God? That's what God wants to do. And so what you've got to do is say, Lord, I know, let me say it like this, it's not behavior modification, but internal transformation that God is looking for. And you need to ask God to do it every day. Ask him to do it every day. I sent this verse out today on social media because I'm trying to put good news out there, all right? Psalm 19:14 says, may the words of my mouth and the meditation of my heart be pleasing to you, O Lord, my rock and my redeemer. That would be a great verse for you to pray every morning. Can I get a good amen? How many think that might change your day, right? If we do that, God, give us the words. God, create in me a clean heart, a pure heart, oh God. Renew a right spirit within me. What part of me today do you need to speak to? And you know what the Holy Spirit does? He will expose those things that don't look like Jesus. But listen, he doesn't just expose it. He gives you the power to overcome it. He empowers you. So he exposes it, but not without giving you the empowerment to change it. Isn't that good news today? That's good news. And so here's what we need to do is we seek a transformed heart. And here's the second thing to lose the weight. Put a filter on your heart. Put a filter on it. Proverbs chapter 4, verse 23 says, above all else, guard your heart. Now, notice that. When the wisest person in the world at that time tells you this is what you ought to do above everything else, I think we ought to pay attention. Guard your heart, for everything you do flows out of it. You can't maintain a pure tongue with a negative heart. So you can't pour into your heart and into your mind a bunch of negativity from social media or watching stuff on TV that's not uplifting, that's not taking you in the right direction. You can't get around other friends that are negative talkers and just get in with them and all that. You can't do that. And you can't listen to music that's like from the pit of hell. The lyrics are just like Satan himself wrote them. And you can't have that playing and going on in your mind and your heart, and good things come out of your tongue. That's good preaching, even if I say so myself, all right? I'm telling you, it's better than your acting today. I know this is a tough one. It's tough on all of us. But there's so many things, there's so much that we let go into us. Here's what Jesus said about it. Matthew 12, for out of the overflow of the heart, the mouth speaks. Don't make any mistake about it. If you know, somebody says, oh, I didn't mean to say that. Oh, yeah. Yeah, because it was in there. Or it wouldn't have come out. Now, you may not have wanted it to come out, but it was in there. That's the only way it was able to come out. And he says, a good man brings good things out of the good, notice this, stored up in him. That's what he's storing. He's watching stuff that's good. He's listening to stuff that's good. He's pouring in good all the time. And as a result, good is coming in. But the evil man brings evil things out of the evil stored up in him. So you've got to meditate on things that are important, that God says are important to you. That's the reason why we got to get together with other people, like in a life group setting or whatever, and hear words of life spoken over us. See, the more God's word goes into you, the more God's word comes out of you. And he says it's like a spring. So to illustrate this today, I brought a hose, all right? I couldn't bring a spring up here. And so it's kind of like a hose. Anybody remember drinking out of one of these when you were a kid? I think you can get turned into child protective services today if you let your kid drink out of a hose. I'm not sure. But back in the day, we used to, on a hot summer day, we could drink out of the hose. And you had to make sure you got it cold, right, first. And But here's the thing. James says you can't have salty and fresh come out of the same hose. It's impossible, right? You can't do it. And so it's just not going to work. It's going to be one or the other. And here's the problem. He says that what comes out is what's in your heart. So in other words, if it's dirty, filthy water coming out, then it's the source that you need to deal with. And so what you've got to do is you've got to guard your heart, because your heart is going to determine what comes out of your mouth and what pours out over your wife, over your husband, over your kids, over your boss, over your employees, over your fellow students, over your friends and people around you. What are you pouring out today? What's coming out of you? Yeah. So you got to watch and you got to guard it. And here's the last thing, is resolve to speak life. Just decide today, I'm going to be a person that speaks life. I'm going to guard my heart. And so what this looks like is the other people at school, they talk about the other people at school in a negative way. But as you walk down the halls and as you gather in the cafeteria, you speak well of them. And when they're tearing down the administration and the faculty and making fun and whatever, you're honoring the authorities over you, because you want the Lord not to snuff out your light. You want the guidance of the lamp of God in your life, and so you speak well of them. It looks like this with your spouse. You pour life into them. You say to them what you want them to be, because who the most important person in your life says over you does much to determine the future of your life. And so you do that over your kids. And you do that over your parents, kids. What are you speaking? And I know there are people here that maybe, and I am sorry that this happened, but maybe over you didn't have this growing up. Maybe you had a lot of negative spoken over you. Maybe that's the reason why you struggle with this more than other people maybe struggle with this. Because you had a lot of garbage that was dumped on you. A lot of stuff that was spoken over you, that you'll never make it, that you'll never be that way. And maybe some of you have just floundered as a result, and others of you have said, oh, I will prove them wrong, and you have been so driven that you've burnt down relationships that got in your way because you're gonna prove somebody wrong. But whoever you are today, if negative words have been spoken over you and challenged you, I want to speak God's word over you today. I want to speak what God says over you, because the most important person in your life, what have they spoken over you? And I hope the most important person in your life is not just the person sitting next to you, but it's God himself, who has spoken over you. If you've only had negative today, I'm so glad you're here, because I want you to hear what God says. He says, you are loved. You are my child. You are part of the family of God. You are accepted. You are never alone. You are a new creation. You lack nothing. You are more than a conqueror. You are victorious. You are filled with wisdom. You are protected. You are totally forgiven. You are declared righteous before God. You are filled with God's Spirit. You are at peace with God. You have authority over the enemy. You are secure in Christ. You have purpose. You have destiny. And you will dwell in the house of the Lord forever and ever. That's what God says over you. That's what he says. I am who he says that I am today. How about you? Let me pray over you. Father, help us today wherever this message lands with us. Maybe just take a moment and say, God, purify my heart. Maybe God's convicting you of some things. Maybe you've been on social media too much, or watch TV too much, or too many movies that drag you down, or the lyrics of songs, or whatever that looks like, or some friends that you need to quit associating with. God, whatever it is, God, give us the courage today to get new friends. Give us the courage today to make godly people some of our closest companions. And God, regardless of what other people say, help us to only speak words of life. Maybe you're here this morning, you say, Craig, God's dealing with me. I want him to have all of me, including my heart, my tongue. I don't want my heart, my tongue, to burn down my marriage or to burn down others. I don't want that fire to get loose. I want to be a person that springs out life to others, that springs life at school, that springs life at work, that springs life at home. If that's your desire today, you want to be a spring of life, would you just raise a hand all over this room? Come on, let's just commit all over again to God. Father, help us today. We surrender our hearts most of all because we recognize that you said it comes out of somewhere. When we speak things, when we type things, when we do things that are negative, it came from somewhere. And so God, today, let us deal with the source. And the only way that James says we can do it, because we can't do it on our own, we need your power. We need your help today. So God, would you just, right now, just help us to have the courage to make life changes, to have the courage to surrender all to you so that we can be springs of life wherever we go. Others of you, maybe you need to just surrender your whole life to God. Maybe that's where the starting point is for you today. You just need to surrender your life to God. And what that looks like, the Bible says, is if we confess with our mouths, Jesus is Lord. If we believe in our hearts that God raised him from the dead, then we can be saved. And so today, you can engage your heart and your mouth to be able to receive the life-changing power of the living God into your life today. And if you're here and you'd say, Craig, honestly, that's what I need today. I need to surrender my heart, my mouth, my life to him. I'm ready to confess with my mouth, Jesus is Lord over my life. If you're ready for that, will you just raise a hand all over this room? Just say, yeah, that's me today. I need this in my life. I need Jesus in my life. And online, just type the word decided in the chat, the word decided. We're going to be praying for you. As a matter of fact, everybody pray this prayer after me right now. Just say, Dear Heavenly Father, thank you for sending Jesus to die on the cross and pay for all sin. Today, I confess Jesus to be my Lord and Savior. And in my heart, I believe that he is alive and he is Lord. Thank you for receiving me as a child of God. In Jesus' name, amen. Come on, let's celebrate those who confess and believe today. God started something in your life today. We want to help you to continue that. And so there are words on the screen that you can text right from where you are and take that next step. Or here in person to take a next step, you can just go to our Next Steps room, which is right across the hall over here. And someone will be glad to talk to you about baptism, small groups, whatever that you need to help take your next step, growth track, whatever it is. They'd be glad to help you with that. As a matter of fact, another way that you can help us is on this card. If you made a commitment to Christ today, and maybe you want to get baptized, you can tell us right here on this connection card as well. And so maybe just take a moment and mark on the card, I'm committing my life to Christ, or I'm renewing my commitment to Christ today. And many times every week, people are making commitments and recommitments to God. And so if you did that here today, we'd love to be praying about you and that God will continue working in your life. So help us to help you. All right, let's stand to our feet. We're going to worship the Lord. Our prayer partners are going to be down front. So if you have need of prayer for any reason at all today, these folks would love to pray with you and pray for you. Father, help us to shine a light this week, to use those invite cards, to bring somebody else, to help somebody else to connect with you. God, use our light this week in a dark world. And Holy Spirit, draw every person who needs prayer down here to receive the prayer that they need today before they leave. And we thank you for it all. In Jesus' name, amen.